Shall we stand? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and we truly thank you, Lord, for this day and this glorious opportunity to come here this day and to worship, to hear thy word preached unto us. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will take this opportunity and use it to improve ourselves and our lives and apply the word to our life. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the speaker of the hour, that your spirit will rest upon him, that you will guide his thoughts and his speech and his tongue, that he will deliver unto us a word that you'd have for us to hear this evening. I pray, Lord, for each one of us that will listen, that we will be intent on listening, to understanding, and to take these words and apply them to our own lives personally. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those who are unable to attend this night with us. For our sister Beth, Lord, I pray and I raise her up unto you, and I pray, Lord, that she will receive a blessing of those things which are causing her distress and those things which are amiss in her body, and that there will be no further complications with the child that she's carrying, that there will be no problems, only a testimony of your love for her and her life. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those others who are unable to attend this day because of sicknesses or problems or work, that you will be with them also. A portion of your spirit will be poured out upon them. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the upcoming reunion. I pray that your spirit will be there to guide and direct. I pray, Lord, for each of those who have the desire to attend, that you will prepare the way before them, that they can make that journey to join with us and worship you. I pray, Lord, that you will bring them safely here and that they can worship with us and then return them safely home. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll forgive each one of us our sins and our weaknesses, that you will help give us strength in those areas which we need strength in our weaknesses, that we can be better examples unto the world, that we can be more diligent in this gospel that we have, that you have given us in these latter days. I pray, Lord, for our children, that you'll always be with them, that you'll guide and direct them, that you'll bless them, that you'll give them strength to fight off those temptations which will beset them in these days as they go through school and go through life in this world that is striving so hard in a last effort to gain souls for Satan. I pray, Lord, that you'll always give them strength, and you'll be with us as parents to give us the strength to be good examples unto the children as they grow up and they look to us for their examples and the teachings that we should give them. Now, Lord, I pray once again that your spirit will be here and rest upon each one of us and the speaker of the hour, and that we will receive that message. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now I ask you to give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother. I tried to give him a break this month and not let him preach, and one of our people that go off on missionary trips decided to take one this week, and here he is. So I know he's always anxious to stand here and preach the Word of God, even when sometimes it's difficult. A lot of things going on in his life right now, but I know his dedication to the gospel. So I ask that you will listen to him this night as he's preparing himself, and the Lord's giving him a message to speak to us. I give you our brother and priest, Glenn Orsted.
Well, thank you, Brother McAdoo, for that kind introduction. And good evening, everyone. It's good to see each of you this evening. And although, as our pastor mentioned, I had kind of short notice on preparing myself this evening, I did nonetheless feel that I was given a message to present this evening. And so it's somewhat a little more disorganized than I normally like to have my notes and stuff, but we're going to try to endeavor to at least come to an understanding of the point that I'd like to bring forth this evening. I hope that all of you were here this morning, and if everyone wasn't, I hope at least the majority were here to hear our brother's sermon that he gave to us in our morning worship service, because it goes along very well with some of the thoughts that I was pondering upon presenting this evening. Although he took a little bit of a different turn, it goes along well, I think, with some of the thoughts that I have this evening. Because as those of you who were here know, he talked about the time that we have to commit our lives to the Lord. That our lifetime that we have is the only time we have to make the decisions of who we will serve. And we have no guarantee on how long that time will be allotted to us. And a lot of what I want to present this evening goes along that same lines, except not so much on the idea of the time and the commitment, but so more along the lines of the things and decisions we make and just how much they often affect our ability to maintain or to establish that commitment. Our brother, as he stood before us this morning, he also addressed some of the younger ones in the congregation, and he hoped that they would pay attention and listen to what he had to say. And I hope so too, because you're the ones I'm going to be talking to this evening. The younger ones in the congregation. Raise your hands if you would. How many do we have out there that are age 18 and younger? How many of you are 18 or under? Yeah, we have a few out there. A few that are lying a little bit. I think we're fudging a little bit in a few cases there. But go ahead, put your hands down. We have quite a few of you out there. And that's good. Because you're the ones that raised your hand that I'm going to address my thoughts to this evening. The rest of you from 19 and 20 on up, you can pay attention to. You might learn something, but you're not the ones I'm talking to tonight. But I'm sure, as in all messages, regardless of who it's directed to, there's always something we can all learn. And so I hope that you will pay careful attention. But this evening, I'd like to start off by addressing something that's a little bit more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but a little bit more influential, I guess, a little bit more prevalent in our lives, and a little bit more influential when we're young as opposed to when we get to be older. And those are those that we would refer to, or society would refer to, as heroes and role models or idols, if you will. And that's what I'd like to start out this evening by addressing a little bit. I'd like to ask some of you out there, some of those that raise their hands, not you older people that know all the answers to this stuff, or I got it down pat, but some of you that raise your hands, what do you think about when I mention heroes or role models? What are some of the things you think about? What are some of the things that come to your mind? And if you have some ideas that you'd like to throw out there, what are some of the things that you think of when I say that? When I talk about a hero or a role model, something that people in your age group, when you're in school, that they look up to or they think highly of or they esteem or they talk a lot about? Do you have some people that you're thinking of? I know when I was in school, they came from a lot of different walks of life, if you will. Except they usually had a common thread, and that is in being popular and well-known. Whether they were athletes, whether they were musicians in some of the popular groups that were around at the time, actors or actresses in the movie and theater. And for some reason, when we're young, we seem to have a lot more influence on our lives. We seem to look up a lot more to them. They seem to be more superhuman or extraordinary than as we get older, and they seem to all of a sudden become a little bit more human, a little bit more fragile. Who are some of the people that have come to your mind? Who are some of the people that are popular right now in your school that the kids are buying the posters of, that they think are just the example of the way life should be? Any of you have any people that you'd like to mention the names of that fit that category? I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I'm a few years beyond that. I'm sure they've changed from when I was in school. Yeah, Daniel.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Does he stay up in the air forever or what? Yeah, Michael Jordan. Even someone as old as me knows him. That's a good one. Is there some others? There's some musicians that are popular at the time. I know they've certainly changed from when I was in school. Well, I'm sure that you know who they are. They get talked about a lot, don't they? You hear about them a lot. Turn on the television, you hear about them. The magazines, the newspapers, they get a lot of attention. And one that we've been hearing about quite a bit recently is Magic Johnson of the Los Angeles Lakers. He, for quite some time, has been esteemed quite a bit above many others in his, even in his own athletic capabilities, because of the image that he's presented of supposedly, by the world standards, being wise with his resources and his finances. Because oftentimes, you know, most of us, well, I'm sure all of us in this room, as we begin our lives and we begin to work, we begin to prepare for our families, as we decide what we're going to do with our lives and our occupations, you know, we begin to work and we start out, we don't have a whole lot. And through the course of our lives, we begin to accumulate things, we begin to save money, possibly set a little bit aside for retirement. And then hopefully by the time you're getting to be a little bit older and mature, you're a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more stable, and you slowly work into it. Well, oftentimes these athletes, that is not the way it happens. They come right out of college and they've got instant money and success and large amounts of money, sometimes millions of dollars. And it's the exact reverse of most people's lifestyles, because as they get older, they lose those physical abilities and soon they find themselves not having that employment that they've enjoyed and that spotlight that they've enjoyed. And oftentimes during that time, they live within those means, and they spend the money on the houses and the cars and the various other things they have. And then suddenly when that money ends, all so often the great athletes end up living in poverty or far below the people who were their fans for so many years. But Michael Jordan was looked, now I've been back, but Magic Johnson was looked up to quite a bit because he'd been wise and he prepared for his future. He'd invested, he was working into getting the various business dealings, and he was setting himself up that when his career as a basketball star ended, he would still have something to do. He was known for spending a lot of time on charities, raising money for various organizations. And so in the eyes of many, he was looked up to, considered a hero. In fact, in a recent article in the Arizona Republic, and I have several quotes I'm going to use. Most of them I have found out of the Republic or otherwise within the last week or so. Jared Mustaf said, you know, he was my idol. And a Mark Rosenbaum, who's been a Lakers season ticket holder for many years, said that when you talk about Magic, you talk about those old-fashioned virtues you were taught as a kid. And Dan Marley on our own Phoenix Suns talked about what an example and inspiration that Magic Johnson was to him. And here in Phoenix, a Roger Yarbor, 12 years old, said that he believed Johnson was superhuman. A hero, a star, a role model. But as we all know, he just recently announced that he was going to have to retire from his position with the Lakers because he has tested positive for the HIV, which is the initial virus that often, you know, probably in most all cases, leads eventually to the AIDS virus. Then in the last 10 years we've come to hear quite a bit about. And so now he's not going to be a basketball star. But he's going to use that role and that image he had among the young people, especially among those of you that are teenagers. To be what has been determined to be a spokesman for AIDS, to educate the youth, the children. Because as he said, in his own words, quoting him from an article in the Republic, which was quoting a statement he made on public television, he says, "I want kids to understand that safe sex is the way to go." Now, I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to ask anyone to explain anything. But in that group that raised their hands, those of you who are the youth, how many of you already know from what you've heard on television and in your schools or wherever the case may be, what he's referring to when he says safe sex? That you have some inclination or some idea? I don't see too many hands. I see a few. But he's going to try and use his image and his role to educate the youth. Well, that same young man in Phoenix that I read a minute ago, that Roger Yarbor, who's 12 years old, he says he believed that Johnson was superhuman. And after this, he says, now I'll know not to shoot up and to practice safe sex. And he thinks he's already been learned and taught something. Now, some of you who are my elders probably never thought that you would see the day where the topic about sex would be mentioned across the pulpit. And I certainly never thought there'd be the day where I'd be standing behind the pulpit even addressing it. But the simple fact of the matter is, when television, radio, newspapers, and magazines begin to present a falsehood to misrepresent the truth, it becomes our duty, our responsibility to point out what the truth truly is. Because in a Sports Illustrated article that was out just recently, like in the last week, Magic Johnson says that he wouldn't even have any idea who he could have got the virus from. Because it said it's a matter of numbers. And in order to combat this disease, in the world's wisdom, they've come up with the concept of safe sex. And there's a problem with that. Because like Derek Batson, who's 18 years old, of Miami, Florida, said, the problem is not whether people have sex. It's how to protect them from getting sick. People don't get on TV now and say, don't have sex. They say the risk of having sex is this: protect yourself. Protect yourself. And they're right. They don't say, don't have sex. But my concern is, they misrepresent the truth. Because when they tell you, safe sex, they're not giving you the true definition. Because it does exist. God invented it. And it has two definitions. And the first is abstinence. And the second is a monogamous relationship blessed of God through His ordinance of marriage. But you don't hear them say that very often. That's the true definition and true safe sex. because what they're defining isn't safe, but safer. And yet they still try to make Magic Johnson the hero. No admission of guilt or wrongdoing. After he admitted of his testing positive for the HIV virus, the NBA commissioner David J. Stern said, quote, "He is a heroic person, and that was a heroic act." President Bush called him a hero. Dr. Michael Melman, the Lakers doctor, said, "I think that he should not only be commended, but be held as a modern-day hero." Just an average guy doing nothing wrong in his life. As Dan Ayla, a referee in the NBA, said, "He's never done anything wrong." As in here in Phoenix, Randy Gorbett, the founder and the president of the Phoenix Shanty House, which provides care for AIDS patients. "It's a big, big mistake to assume that this only happens to people who do bad things." Magic Johnson says that he truly cares for the youth of this nation and the world. And so he wants to help them avoid mistakes that he's made. If he truly wants to do that, it would seem that he'd have to repent of the deeds that got him in the situation in the first place. Admit that what he'd done, his lifestyle, and the choices that he had made had led him to that point. And admit that what he'd done, his lifestyle, was wrong. And ask the youth and the children, those of you that raised your hands, not to make the same mistake he did. But that's not the road he's chosen. The path that he's chosen to take is to address those that would listen to him and tell them of the ways to decrease the risk of sin. Not to avoid the cause, but a way to better the odds in your favor. Because that's all it does, because the Surgeon General has determined that outside of those definitions that I gave earlier, abstinence and a monogamous relationship for the duration of your life, there is no guarantees. You can ease the odds, but you're still at risk. And that's what the world's trying to present today to those of you that are still in school, that are learning and making your decisions. They try to make sin look safe. They aren't saying to control your physical desires. You've seen the commercials that are on television. If you're sexually active, and they go off about it. But that's not my point. this evening. That's just the beginning example, because they do that with everything. They're trying to make sin look safe. And they're trying to target the youth. How many of you have seen the commercials about if you're going to drink, choose a designated driver? A way to make sin safe. Because I would hope each and every one of you are well aware of the scriptures that have been presented in sermons, in your Sunday school classes, or wherever, that the Lord has established the sins of drinking in excess, about avoiding drunkenness. Because it does a lot more than get you in a car accident. It damages your body. It destroys the brain, the liver, and the rest of the body. But if you're going to drink, have a designated driver. Plan to sin safely. Because Magic Johnson wasn't a spokesman for AIDS before he had it. He wasn't out there campaigning to raise money before he had it. And if a man's trapped in a burning building and he tries to get out, that doesn't make him a hero. He's trying to survive. And this point I'm trying to make this evening is that the Aarons, the Ericas, the Adams, the Hollies, Tonys, the Michelles, the Tracys, you're at a time in your life where you're going to have to make some of your biggest decisions in the years to come very shortly. Decisions that are going to affect the rest of your life. Some very important decisions. But like so many other things, the world's going to try and guide and direct you and make light of what could be some dangerous paths. They'll try to misrepresent, to coax, and to convince you to make decisions that once you've made them, will make it very hard, difficult, and in some cases impossible, if you choose wrong, to make that commitment that our brother spoke of this morning, to dedicate and commit your life to the Lord. Because like our brother McIndoo said this morning about the traffic fatalities just within Phoenix and within the state, not even considering nationwide, the accidents that happen when you're 16, 17, 18 years old and just recently have your license, you're the most inexperienced person out there that'd be able to deal with the decisions that come along with it. It doesn't mean that you have to make mistakes. Mistakes be made. And part of driving is to be able to avoid those mistakes made by others. And by that same token, in our youth, we have to make some decisions without the experience of life that will affect our life. And they may seem simple and easy, but they can have some very long-lasting effects. Decisions about marriage, who to marry, when to marry, about a family, when to start a family, where to live, when would be the best time to find a home, what you're going to do for an occupation, schooling, high school, or continue on through college. All decisions made in the beginnings of our life that each of you are going to have to make, they're going to affect who and what you become. And the world tries to make light of things like AIDS and drinking. Show the courageous Magic Johnson. But I hope each and every one of
you. Thank you, Glenn. I know the subject that Glenn spoke of tonight may make some of you feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I certainly hope it wasn't offensive to you, because it already has been determined that this subject is going to be taught to your children in primary school. So you need to be able to deal with it. You need to give it some consideration. Our brother gave us a very good and well done point of view. So don't let the fact that he spoke of these things in front of your children be offensive to you, because they are going to learn them. And we do have a responsibility to teach them the correct way to deal with this situation. I know I saw on the news media other pastors of churches that dealt with this situation right after the news came out about Magic, and it was a completely different idea than our brother spoke to us this night. And I'm glad that he had the truth to tell to us and not the way that some of these other people had dealt with it. So I hope you receive something from that message. I will read the announcements for the remainder of the week. Tuesday at 5:30, there will be a Christian kids choir here at the church. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. will be song service. After that, there will be a priesthood meeting, a short priesthood meeting for scheduling. So please try to attend that. Saturday at 10 a.m., I was told to announce the ladies are going to meet here to clean the church. I would like to extend that invitation to all you men also. I'm sure we have some brooms that will fit your hands. So feel free to come and help the ladies clean the church. They do have a lot to do to get ready for reunion. You are welcome to come. Sunday the 24th at 9:45 will be Sunday school. At 11 a.m. will be a worship service with our brother, Evangelist Hubert Yates, as a speaker. At 2 o'clock that afternoon, there will be a final choir practice for the men and women for the cantata we will do for reunion. And keep in mind that cantata will be on Thanksgiving night at 7 o'clock. So be sure you come and bring your guests with you. So, 5:30 that evening will be a song service, and at 6 o'clock our brother Bill Malone will be the speaker. Our reunion is going to begin November 29th through December 1st. Keep that in your mind and your prayers. The welfare is collecting money for the Christmas welfare family, so if you have any you'd like to donate, please sure to give that to them as soon as possible. And there is a church directory. If you've made any changes on your directory or changed your address or phone number or anything like that, why don't you check that directory before you leave tonight and see to it that it does have your current information on there, and so we can get that out to you. Please don't take the directory. There will be some new ones printed up for you. If you'd like to turn to number 223, we'll use for our closing song, 223. Shall we stand?
In the service of his Father. The world will try to deceive you when you make your decisions. but he never will. He's going to be someone that you can always count on, who will always be there. And I ask that you would use that, that in your decisions and your actions, you would always approach him for his guidance and his direction as you make your decisions in your lives. Because you'll never know in the world where truth and deception change places. And oftentimes, like Magic Johnson has found himself all of a sudden because of decisions that you've made, you find the consequences later down the road. Sometimes without even realizing where the mistakes were made and not being able to find the way back. But the sacrifice of Christ and his love for you is the one thing that you can count on. And the knowledge that he knows what's best for each of us. To guide and direct us. Because among all this hoopla that we've been hearing about Magic Johnson being a hero, courageous, this last week, there was another individual that made a little statement that didn't get quite the publicity that Magic Johnson did. You didn't see it on the front page of the paper. You didn't hear everyone talking about it. But it came from an individual, somewhat famous in his own right, possibly not have the national notoriety of Magic Johnson, but certainly here in Phoenix, most people that follow basketball know of him. His name was Kevin Johnson. And on the television show this week with David Brinkley, he made a statement that wasn't quite as popular as what is being put forth. It didn't get quite the media attention. It didn't have quite the pizzazz. He said, "Abstinence might be the best way to protect from the AIDS virus. I think it's," referring to abstinence, "something we as role models, parents, or even extended others should really preach." There's someone who had the truth, who could see the only true and sure way, but it didn't get a whole lot of attention. And so I'd hope and pray that as the world and makes its claims, and makes things look grand and glorious, that there's still going to be those, maybe somewhat unnoticed, and not in the spotlight, but are still going to be there quietly living, whispering, and trying to hold on and establish the truth. And I hope those people are the ones that I'm looking at right now. And I especially hope and pray for those of you that raised your hands when I first began to speak, that have the decisions to make in your lives, that have your whole lives ahead of you, because those decisions you make in your temporal activities, how you'll spend your time, who you're going to spend it with, what you're going to do with it, what your desires and what your ambitions are going to be, are all so often going to influence the eventual course and path that you're going to take. And they're going to influence you and your ability to make that commitment that our brother spoke of this morning, of which this lifetime is a time to prepare to meet God. The opportunity that Christ bought for each and every one of you with His life, that He endured the tortures that are inflicted upon Him. Because it may not seem so now, but there are jobs out there that, because of their nature and what they require you to do, would make it very hard to be a Christian. There are people out there to interact with that on the surface appear to be good people, but by association with them could make it very hard to be a good Christian. And even in your schooling, college offers a lot of opportunity, but it also offers a lot of dangers. And so my message this evening, and I hope that each and every one of you that raised your hand at the beginning will listen to this, is that there will never be a time in your life where you will ever hesitate to approach the Lord and ask His guidance in any of your decisions, no matter how seemingly simple they may be, no matter how obvious the answer may seem to be. Because the world's becoming more and more deceptive. They're trying to pave the way of sin to make it look safe.
you bow your heads with me? Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the message of the hour. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we will take it with us and we will apply it to our lives, that you'll give our children strength as they go through this life, through sin and temptation will beset them. We pray to their Heavenly Father that we'll always be good examples unto them and teach them the right way to go. I pray to your Heavenly Father that you'll be with each one of us as we part this evening, that you will go with us and give us strength through this week until we have the opportunity to join together once again. I pray, Lord, for those who are unable to meet with us this day because of sickness. I continue to pray for our sister Beth and for each of those, Lord, who are unable to attend this day for whatever the reason. I pray that a portion of your Spirit will be given to them also. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will forgive each one of us our sins, give us strength as we carry on through this world, and that you will give us a message to deliver to the world as we go out into the world and meet the people we go to school with and that we work with. Now, Lord, I pray once again that you'll be with each one of us as we part, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.